This morning we are in Mark chapter 9. We are making our way through Mark at a rapid pace here, and that is good. We're going to be in Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29 this morning, and we're going to be talking about moments that define us. Every one of us can go into a time in our lives that is a moment that defined us, a moment that helped us see God maybe a little bit more clearly. And I want you to look at the story that we see today, and I want you to see some, maybe you can detect some moments that happen in this story, much like in your own life. Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law was arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I ask your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father explained, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene. He rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, today we will meet you again face to face. We will meet you again through your word. And I pray that you would help us to understand that in those moments, you shine clearly in our lives. Usually in those moments where we don't know what to do next, we meet you and you make yourself and your ways and your will clear to us. Father, I pray for those that are among us today that maybe don't know you as personal Savior, I pray that they would see you in your glory and in your determination to find them where they are in their life and renew them, revive them, and give them a new life. Father, for those who have drifted away from their walk with you, may they see you again revived and anew in their own lives. I pray that you would walk with us this morning as we review these moments in the life of Jesus. May they be our moments as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes the moments in our lives that we experience magnify who God is. Maybe there's something about him that's missing. You don't understand. There's a question you've always had. It's in those moments that he becomes magnified. You see up here on our stage, we have a lot of big bugs. How many of you love bugs? These are big bugs, you know. But they're not really big because they're only magnified. There's one bug I don't see up there, Ms. Terry, and that is a mosquito. We have no use for mosquitoes. I'm not sure what God was thinking when he said mosquito, but I don't see any up there, and that is really good. So we are having Vacation Bible School this week, and God will be magnified. Actually, the song says, in the smallness of things, things that are tiny, we see God's magnificent hand. And sometimes we have moments in our lives that are small and insignificant to other people, but for us, the glory of God was magnified in that moment. And maybe you'll find yourself in that. We see that Jesus is coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember when we talked about that? He got up on that mountain that was up there, and he all of a sudden was zinged from his regular fleshly to his magnificent glory in the presence of the people. Now, this is also the kind of thing that happened to Moses up on the mountain. And when he came down off of that mountain, after having seen God himself, or at least the glory of God from that little pinhole that God created for him, his face was shining. I can imagine as Jesus was coming down off of that mountain with his three disciples that he might have had a glow on his face. And people noticed that glow. And it says that they were overwhelmed. They were amazed at Jesus. Let me tell you something about the book of Mark. He loves that word amazed and overwhelmed and that word immediately. That things just happen. I mean, every little boy would love the action figure that Jesus is in the book of Mark. Everything happened right now, and everything is happening. Matthew kind of takes their time. Luke maybe takes his time to tell, but nope, not Mark. It's just right to the point there. And he's coming down, and he sees that, and he says, what are y'all having the confusion? What are y'all debating? And let me tell you, it was the scribes and the Pharisees that were kind of arguing, debating, discussing with his disciples. And I can imagine Jesus is like, guys, you need to leave my boys alone. They're still learning. They're still trying to figure this out. You see, the disciples had been given the power from Jesus, the authority from Jesus to cast out demons. We read about that early on in Mark. And evidently they had been trying to say all of the right things, get the right incantations or put together the kind of, you know, we got a pebble here and we got a pebble there and we're trying to put it all, and it's not working. They don't understand why they can't do that because they had done it in the past. And so, Jesus comes down and says, what are y'all arguing about? Let me know. But he didn't really get an answer, did he? All of a sudden, a man came out of the crowd and says, I don't care what they're arguing about. Let me tell you, Jesus, my son hurts. And I know that if I bring him to you, I was looking for you, and I'm so glad to see you. And in that moment, Jesus understood something. There was a daddy that needed help with his son. Everything else cleared out of the way. If you can do anything, the Father says, have compassion on it. If you can do anything. Let me tell you, the Creator of the universe, the one who holds everything in his hand, the one who created all of this stuff that's up here. And it all works within the context of creation. Every little bug does its work and helps in all of creation. He holds it all together. Can he do anything? If you can do anything. Jesus responded to him in patience. So much patience. If you can, all things are possible. We're going to go on with this story, but I want you to see that each one of these moments that we're going to discuss today, they are a mirror of your life. Are you a believer that has been believing for all of your life? This is a mirror for you. Are you a person who is still trying to figure out what Christianity is? Why should I believe in this Jesus? This is a mirror for you to understand who Jesus is. These moments that we're going to experience through this today is a moment of trust, moments of doubt. Ooh, what is that? And then moments of connection. Let's unpack each one of these moments that we experience here. I'm going to get my notes together here. I want to talk to you about the moment of trust. I can go back in my life and I can figure out the time when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. When I was very young, I knew that what my Sunday school teacher had been teaching me has to be right. And that in this moment, I thought to myself, in this moment, if I were to die right now, where would I go? And then that was when it hit me. My Sunday school teacher has been telling me. My mom and dad have been telling me. I have people in my church who love me that share the gospel with me. I know there's this popular phrase, this popular saying that says it takes a village to raise a child. It takes an entire church community to help raise that child. I can tell my children one thing and they'll believe me. But boy, how much better when that old moss-backed deacon says the same things that I say. When that Sunday school teacher loves my kids and tells them the same kinds of things. And people just sitting in the pews love the same Jesus that we love. It makes a big difference. Moments of trust. I go back to that. But what about the other moments in life? What about after you've been saved? And maybe you've been saved now for 10 years or 15 or 20 or some of you 50 years. Are you still learning to trust? And I would say, absolutely. Absolutely. We get a short time span in life, really. We get 70 years. You realize everybody gets 70 years on the grand scheme of things. Some get 104. I know I had a little lady at my church that turned 104. And when she was 101, she got a driver's license. I'm not sure what that said about her or the state, but she was 101 with a driver's license. Sweet, sweet lady. But no matter how long it is that you're living on this short, very short time span, you get an opportunity to learn to trust Jesus more and more as you go. Moments of trust. This father sees Jesus coming, and whatever else is happening, he wants to know that Jesus is there. And he says, if you can do anything. And I want to say that it's possible that he could have said, since you can do anything. What has he seen? What has he heard about in Jesus' ability to do miracles? Well, he had heard that he can do it. He probably heard about the demoniac in Gadara, where he cast out that demon. And that person that had the demons cast out became a preacher man and started bringing people to Jesus because of his own testimony. If you can do anything. But he's not quite sure. I know you can help people. I'm not sure you can help me. Have you ever felt that way? I know you have. Because you probably think that, you know, God helps, you know, those who help themselves. Boy, that's a misnomer, isn't it? God helps those little saintly little ladies and men. Trying to find a saintly man somewhere, but you know those saintly women. God helps them. I'm not so sure he helps me because I'm right in the middle of my turmoil. I'm right in the middle of this disaster that is called life. And he doesn't seem to be helping me much. But here comes Jesus. And he says, if you can, do anything. Help me. I can't do anything, Lord. I've tried. I've lived with my son for yea all of these years, and he just continually, this demon just has him all wrapped up, and I don't know what to do. I can't do anything. I've done what I can. I protect him when I can, but I've got to keep my eye on him all the time. And Jesus turns it back on him. He asks the question, what do you mean if you can? Don't you know that everything is possible for those who believe? That moment that he had of trust. He doesn't have all the answers, but he puts his trust in the one who does. Amen. It's not, I think it was Charles Spurgeon said that faith is the master spring of the Christian life. It's not how strong we feel, but it's about who we trust. But I really like the way I feel, right? I mean, I don't know that any generation is different from this generation or that is here today, but boy, this generation puts a lot of stock in how I feel. If I don't feel good, that's your fault. Or boy, you're putting some vibes, what was that, the 70s? You're putting some vibes in here that you just need to move out of my, get out of my place. You know, how I feel is so important. This man felt helpless, for sure. But he knew that when Jesus came, he was looking for Jesus. He said, I know somebody who can. I know somebody who can help because I've heard the stories. Scripture tells us, remember the mustard seed of faith? If you have just a little bit of faith, it can move mountains. I tell you what, it's not that faith that moves the mountains. It's the one you have faith in. Is your faith in Jesus? Maybe your faith is in your ability to make life work. Maybe it's in your ability to control and contrive things in life. Maybe you have faith that tomorrow's going to be good. And you really don't know that, do you? We're really not given a promise about tomorrow. We are given a promise that God holds us in His hand if we trust Him. But it is what we have faith in, not just that we feel good. Whether it's a crisis or a step into the unknown, maybe the moments of trust in Jesus can lead us into faith like we've never experienced before. Because really, if you don't trust Him now, why should you trust Him later? And that man had a deep and abiding need that had nothing to do with him, but everything to do with his son. Even when your faith feels weak, it can become strong. I want to talk to you about the next moment. The next moment in this text, we see the struggle with unbelief. There are moments of doubt. Have you ever experienced a moment of doubt? I think that if we're truly human, we understand what moments of doubt is. And let me tell you that doubt is not a bad thing. Please understand, doubt doesn't mean that you're faithless. I think that doubt is a big part of our faith in God. We travel with Him. The Bible says that His Word will guide our steps and it will make our pathway. What is it that says, a pathway glow? The footsteps of Jesus? That was always a funny song. It makes the pathway glow. But it really does. It lights up your pathway. And it's a step by step. So where is this step going? Doubts may come into your mind, and that's not terrible because you're not God. You don't have control of everything. As a matter of fact, the more that we try to control, the more everything gets out of control. And so the moments of doubt is not a bad thing. Please don't think to yourself, I must be not a Christian if I'm doubting. Even Thomas doubted. Go back and read the story where he says, Jesus, look, I know this is impossible what you're asking me to believe. And what we're asking our friends and our enemies to believe. It's impossible for them until the Holy Spirit comes in and does the precious work that He does. But we still keep witnessing to them. Moments of doubt are not bad. Moments of doubt are a window or an invitation to trust Him more, to see Him work in our own lives. It's possible that this man, his prayer to Jesus, when Jesus says, if I can, you know all things are possible. He says to Jesus, I believe. He says, Lord, I believe. Man, what are some of the things he had tried? He had tried everything in life. He had tried all the doctors. He'd spent his money. He had done everything he could for his son. And now he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, I believe. What are some of the things that you believe? What are some of the things that you know beyond a doubt of a shadow of a doubt besides death and taxes? You know, those things we all believe in. But what's happening in life? What do I believe? You know, you can take the Ten Commandments and you can look at the Ten Commandments. If you're a Christian, you can say, I believe that I should honor God above everything and everyone else. You can say, I believe what is good and what is evil in this world. Everybody will contend with you on that. What is good to you may not be good to me. There's a big debate on that. But it's not really true, because what God calls good and right is good. So list the Ten Commandments. You might say, I believe that. I don't think I should hide in waiting to hurt somebody. I should never do that. I shouldn't cheat on my wife or my husband. I shouldn't steal from someone. What is theirs is theirs. And I shouldn't do any of that. You can believe some things. Lord, I believe. But you know, there's parts of life that I'm just not so sure about. What do I do when I don't know what to put my trust in? When I don't know where to put my faith? Lord, I believe, but you've got to help my unbelief. There's some things I don't know yet. I don't know how my son is going to get through this, or your story for your moments, whatever yours is. I don't know how that this is going to work out. I've never been here before. I've never I've never put my trust in you in this situation before. It's brand new to me. And I don't have any friends or any acquaintances that have ever been in my condition before. So I'm trusting you, and please help my unbelief. That's an honest prayer, isn't it? But I can pray with that man. I really can. There's another prayer in the Bible. There's another prayer that says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen, if you can get that mature, you're doing good. Because most of us think that we're worthy. Most of us think, yeah, I got this in a bag. We don't. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Sometimes we have moments when trust feels hard. Maybe when your prayers go unanswered. It's like I pray this and it just bounces off the ceiling. What about when the grief or the pain lingers? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. What about when God seems silent? I can't even imagine what Job went through. Everything happened, splashed down right in the middle of his lap, and God was silent. Only the reader knows what happened when you read it. God was silent until he wasn't. The Father teaches us what to do. Bring those moments of doubt to Jesus. Don't hide them. Don't pretend that they're not there. And lay them at His feet. Jesus did some pretty amazing things on that day. Let me tell you something that He did. He spoke to the demon, but He didn't have the demon's name. Remember, the demon couldn't talk. Everybody in those days knew. I mean, it was common knowledge. Grandma, Grandpa taught us that if you can get a hold of a demon's name, you can control him. That's what they believed. They thought that was true. But you know, God knows things we don't know. Huh. Really? God knows things we don't know? He knew. It didn't matter if that demon spoke or not. He didn't have to have a name. He was the commander in chief over all of the universe. He said, get out of that boy, don't you ever come back. And it convulsed him again. And it's interesting at this point. We don't ever see this in another situation. The boy looked like he was dead. Everybody looked at him and said, well, that killed him. I don't know what Jesus did, but he sure did take his life from him. And remember the story of Jairus' daughter. Jesus walks over, takes her by the hand, says, little girl, arise. And she got up and walked. That's what Jesus did. That boy wasn't dead. He just hadn't been brought back to consciousness again. Listen, if you've ever been saved, this is a picture of us. If you have ever been saved, it's because your flesh died and you became alive to Christ. And now you are alive to walk with Him in a newness of life. When you're baptized, we say dead to sin and the old flesh and alive in newness to God to walk with Him. That boy was a visualization of what it is to have faith in Jesus, who can bring you to life. Finally, about the only thing the devil can do is steal, kill, and destroy. But he can't give you new life. He can't do what Jesus does for us if we trust in Him. Now listen, He's not looking for perfect faith. That father did not have a perfect faith. It wasn't perfect yet, but it was becoming. Your faith is still becoming. You are still becoming a child of God. Well, you are a child of God. That's undeniable if you've trusted Christ. But you are becoming His disciple through life and in your trust with Him. You are still becoming a disciple of His. And that life, you're beginning to realize exactly what God can do with you and through you as you trust Him. I want to ask you today, have you trusted Him first as your Savior? Has that been something that you've already taken care of? Maybe you need to be baptized and follow Him in all in an outward show of your faith. And people can see that. That's what we do with baptism. Maybe today as a disciple, you have found a place that you can't get beyond your unbelief. Maybe there's a part in your life that you can't, you don't know how to trust Him. You don't know, your unbelief is still there. Lord, I believe. I know You saved me, but I don't know if You're going to help me in this situation. He can. He can. When you trust Him, He can give you a peace of heart in the situation you find yourself in. What a better place to be. If He chooses to move you through that situation and get it out of the way, or if He chooses just to give you a peace of heart. That's what He did with the Apostle Paul. He said, look, My grace is sufficient for you. Quit whining and get back to work. That's what Paul did. I want to invite you this morning to do that. As our Sunday school teachers come up here, maybe you need to pray with someone this morning. You need to just lay it at His feet. Maybe you want to talk more about salvation. Each one of them are very capable of that. Or we can meet this week, you and me. We can talk about salvation. I can talk with you about baptism. We can talk with you about your discipleship and how close you can get to Him. Let's stand together. Maybe this morning you want to say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Let's bow our heads. Maybe there's an area in your life you need to give back to God. Maybe you've kept it reserved to yourself. The turmoil that you're experiencing, or someone in your life is experiencing. You just need to tell Jesus, I know You can. Please help. And ask for that sweet sense of peace that comes with trust in Him. I can tell you that Jesus loved that boy more than that daddy did. What a blessing that daddy brought that boy to Jesus. Grandmother, grandfather. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of You. Indeed, You are glorious in our eyes. And Father, we can pray that same honest prayer with that Father. Lord, I do believe. I know what You can do, but can You help me? Help my unbelief. Help us to be honest with You. Help us not to hide anything about ourselves. You know them even before we say them. You know our needs before we ask. But Lord, we submit to Your command to ask anyway. And Lord, You will answer in a way that glorifies You and that helps us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.